reading Psalm 103. Please turn to Psalm 103 with me. Beginning with verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of His benefits, who pardons all your iniquities, who heals your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with loving kindness and compassion, who satisfies your years with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. The Lord performs righteous deeds and judgments for all who are oppressed. He made known His ways to Moses, His acts to the sons of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness. He will not always strive with us, nor will He keep His anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His loving kindness toward those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. Just as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear Him. For He knows our frame. He is mindful that we are but dust. As for man, his days are like grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourishes. When the wind has passed over it, it is no more, and its place acknowledges it no longer. But the loving kindness of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear Him, and His righteousness to children's children, to those who keep His covenant and remember His precepts, to do them. The Lord has established His throne in the heavens, and His sovereignty rules over all. Bless the Lord, you His angels, mighty in strength, who perform His word, obeying the voice of His word. Bless the Lord, all you His hosts, you who serve Him, doing His will. Bless the Lord, all you works of His. In all places of His dominion, bless the Lord, O my soul. I don't think that we should be shocked when the world is ungrateful. It is natural that the old man that works within each and every unregenerate sinner, that there is that place of ingratitude. We read in Romans how that the Apostle Paul, in laying out the plan of salvation, essentially the fifth gospel, going thematically rather than chronologically as with Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But Paul, as he begins, he speaks of those who were not grateful for what God had done for them, and how that they, professing to be wise, became utter fools and went lower and lower and lower and lower in depravity. I say to you, it is not shocking that the unregenerate, that the unbeliever, is callous, is complaining, is whining about all that they could have, that they think that they should have, but they don't have. However, we want to address the believer. We want to particularly address, as David does here, what should be the attitude, what should be the disposition of those who have come to know the goodness and mercy, the forgiveness of God. Now, it should not also be a surprise to us that even in the believer who has come to taste of the good things and of those things which are yet on before us, that there is ever that old man who wants to rise up and who wants to do guerrilla warfare in our own very lives. How often we have stopped our own mouths or have regretted words that we have spoken after they have gone out. And we realize that we need the counsel of Psalm 103, where David, he talks to himself and he says, "Look here, O my soul, you need to put aside all of those things that the old man would want to rise up and say, 'Look at this. You don't have this. Perhaps you would like to have this.'" And David, he rises up and he speaks to himself. He speaks to his very inner soul. And he says, "Listen here. There is no reason whatsoever for ingratitude, for an unthankful, complaining heart. I need in all things to bless the Lord." And so that phrase, that call, is the bookends that begins and ends this psalm. "Bless the Lord, O my soul." And that phrase, that call, "Bless the Lord," is repeated numerous times. But what is the foundation, the underpinning, for why we should bless the Lord? Is it that He has bestowed on us trinkets, that He has dropped certain blessings, that there have been raindrops of blessing, as it were, that have fallen upon us, and that we have been temporarily satisfied with His goodness? David brings us to the very character and the very person of God as he goes through this psalm to show us our gratitude is rooted there in the very person of God Himself and not simply what He has done. The Lord is deserving of our honor. He is deserving of our attention, of our thanks, both for what He has done and for who He is. "Bless the Lord, O my soul." And he says, "Everything, nothing left behind, everything that is within me, that is what is to be used to bless His holy name." And he says it again, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." And don't forget, don't be deceived into thinking that there has been any holdback on God's kindness to us. But remember all of His benefits. Make sure that you are not dull in your accounting. So David helps us, lest we be rather unimaginative and that we be rather dull in ourselves. He says He pardons all your iniquities and heals all your diseases, redeeming your life from the pit, who crowns you with loving kindness and compassion, who satisfies your years with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. If we think into the life of David, our imagination doesn't have to work too hard in order to delve into how that he might be thinking of very specific instances along the way where these things have been played out for him. There's no indication of how old David might have been when he wrote this psalm. Certainly, we know that he ruled for 40 years, which was a long time. Perhaps it was towards those later years when he counsels himself and he says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." Maybe in midlife, but at any point, here is good, rich counsel. And David, he's thinking back and he's counting all of the blessings that he has received, even when he fled from King Saul, who wanted so badly to snuff out his life. David, he was in pit situations. There were times when he was viciously hunted, not simply by one man, but by Saul and his armies. And he was fleeing for his life. But he realized that the Lord was with him, that the Lord was his constant companion, and that the Lord was watching over him and providing for him every step of the way. Verse 6, the Lord performs righteous deeds and judgments for all who are oppressed. David had known oppression. He had sought to serve his father well. He had sought to serve King Saul well. But similar to Joseph down in Egypt when he had served so well in Potiphar's house, and what happens to him but he's thrown into prison? Does he become morose? Does he become angry? Does he become bitter? No, he continues to serve even in the midst of the oppression that was laid heavy upon him. God had made known his ways to Moses and his acts to the sons of Israel. And once again, David is expanding things. He's seeing that it wasn't simply blessing that was poured out to him alone, but that there was to the whole people God's kindness. The Lord is compassionate, gracious, slow to anger, abounding in loving kindness, but he will not strive with us always. He will not keep his anger forever. David is dealing here with redemption. He is dealing with God's character and God's actions. He realizes that there needs to be, out of his own heart and soul, he realizes that there needs to be this expression of deepest, most lavish praise and blessing the Lord for who he is, what he has done. David also realizes the Lord, he has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his loving kindness toward those who fear him. You remember in the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve took the forbidden fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They ate it as the serpent encouraged them to. They had been told, in the day that you eat of it, you will surely die. God was perfectly within his rights at that moment to strike them down, and that with that bite, they would be no more. Certainly, death began to work in them and throughout all of creation, and everything around about us speaks of what took place in that moment of time. But the Lord did not strike them down. He did not deal with them according to their sins. He did not reward them according to their iniquities. And so also his mercy continues to be extended. Paul, as he would go through his missionary journeys, he would beckon, he would plead with people, he would absolutely implore them, realizing that time was short and that God's mercy and grace was being extended and that it was available to the people. He realized that God had not dealt with them according to their sins or iniquities. As far as the east is from the west, that's just how far he has removed our transgressions from us. And he takes on the fatherly model. Just as a father has compassion on his children, just in that very same way, the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. key words. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We read in Psalms also, let us know that fear of Him. He knows our frame. He is mindful that we are but dust. As for man, his days are like grass, the flower of the field. So he flourishes. But then that wind. And at this time of year, how particularly appropriate. When the leaves are falling and when the grass is not growing as it might. When all of the flowers are falling off. The flower of the fields, they are falling when that wind passes over them. And all of a sudden we have just barren ground. But David says, the loving kindness of the Lord, how different from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear Him, and His righteousness to children's children, to those who keep His covenant. And David wraps up, the Lord has established His throne in the heavens, and He rules over all. There is nothing that escapes His notice. There is nothing out of which you can say, well, that's not God's business. His sovereignty rules over all. And David, he comes to a benediction and he pushes the people and he says, bless the Lord, bless the Lord, bless the Lord. He starts in the heavenly sphere with those angels who are so very mighty. And we could say, well, why would they need to bless the Lord? They need to sound forth His praises also, even as they perform His word, obeying His very voice. Bless the Lord, all you His hosts. Now that could be in heaven, it could be on earth, it could be the saved of the Old Testament and New Testament, but it's each and every one who are His own. You who serve Him, doing His will. Now David also turns to even creation. Bless the Lord, all you works of His. We could divide this into His creative works and into His redemptive works. And most certainly, the intricacy in the macro and the micro of creation speaks of the greatness of our God and, in effect, praises Him. All you works of His, but especially His redemptive work that He sent Jesus Christ to be the propitiation for our sins, that the wrath of God might fall upon Him rather than upon us. Bless the Lord in all places of His dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. After coming around the whole world and all of creation, the whole universe, every facet, every part of it, David comes back once again to the personal. Jesus, in raising Lazarus from the grave, He came to the home of Martha and Mary, and He first of all spoke with Martha, and then He spoke with Mary, and He spoke to Mary about the resurrection, and that He was the resurrection and the life, and He comes down to the personal with Mary, because she said, yeah, I know that Lazarus will rise again on the last day. But Jesus spoke to her very personally and says, I am the resurrection and the life. Do you believe this? Do you believe this, Mary? It's not just good that Lazarus or Martha or the people down the street or the leadership in the religious community or some family over two villages believe this. Mary, do you believe this? David, he takes this very, very personally. And as he begins, so he ends. And he's talking to his soul and saying, "Soul, there is no reason in heaven or on earth but that you should praise the Lord, that you should bless His name, and that you should rejoice evermore in all of His goodness." Are you of the mind of David? Or do your thoughts and attitudes run completely contrary? Lord, we give you thanks and praise for how that David, through all of the things which you led him through, that he has left for us this as well as so many other of the Psalms which speak of how that we ought to bless your name and rejoice in all of your goodness. I pray, Lord, that you would continue a mighty, mighty work within us. Lord, we encourage one another and we try to press ourselves at various times to be thankful. Lord, would there be that mighty work of your Spirit that you would come and that you would do a radical change in us, even as you did in the Apostle Paul? Would you work your will in us and make us a thankful people? That such words would pour forth from us, not because it is what people might expect of us, but that because it is real and genuine, and that both those who are lost and those who are believers, that they would know that here is an absolutely true word, sincerely spoken. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. So let it be, Lord. Work deep, deep within us. And let not the world allure. Let not the devil's lies come and attract us and draw us away. But may this ever be true of us, that we are praising and blessing and rejoicing evermore in all of your mercies and goodness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.